Now, if you'll turn in your Bibles to the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 54 as we continue this series of messages on a cup of wine for this Easter season, bringing us up to and through Easter Sunday night, just 2 weeks from tonight. I trust that you'll be in prayer as these messages are preached. For the Lord willing, we hope to have these in print in a book form, and I hope that you'll be in prayer about this matter, that God would use these messages not only for us here, but for many others who might have the opportunity to read them. Luke chapter 22, verse 54, after we pause in a moment of prayer. And now, Heavenly Father, as we bow before Thee with open minds and open Bibles, we are aware that the same Christ who walked in the Garden of Gethsemane and through the angry mob that cried out for His blood, and down the Via Dolorosa to offer Himself as the supreme sacrifice for all mankind, we know that He is with us today in the presence of the Holy Spirit. So may we honor Him. May we look into His face, that stranger of Galilee, and may we never be the same once we've seen Him in the light of all of His grace. In His name we ask it, and for His sake, with thanksgiving. Amen. Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him, and said, "This man was also with him." And he denied him, saying, "Woman, I know him not." And after a while another saw him and said, "Thou art also of them." And Peter said, "Man, I am not." And about the space of 1 hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." And Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how He had said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. How does one describe such an ugly scene as this? What shall a person say about this man called Peter? This one who was supposedly the bravest of all 12 apostles. This one who was vociferous, braggadocious, always ready to speak for Christ, is now, believe it or not, speaking against Him. Shall we scorn Him? Shall we scold Him? Shall we stone Him? How dare anyone, let alone Peter, who had just made his oath of allegiance a few moments ago, how dare anyone deny that he knows Jesus Christ? Someone has called this the big fisherman's worst hour. And if it is, and I believe it to be true, then we must agree that we have all had our worst hour. For somewhere, sometime, in some way, on the stage of life's tragic drama, everyone has played the role of Peter. For everyone has in some measure done what Peter did. Cowards, all of us. Look at Peter. A few moments ago, he stood up against a heavily armed garrison of Roman soldiers, ready to fight to the bitter end. And now he is struck down by the word of a little maid, and he's ready to run, if only he had the courage to do so. But Jesus looked at him. The same Jesus that looked into the eyes of Judas Iscariot is now looking at Peter. And the difference between, or that made, the thing that made the difference between Judas and Peter was the response that the two made to that glance of grace. And beloved, the difference between you and Judas Iscariot is how you respond at Jesus when he looks at you. And I beg you this morning, as the Savior looks at you, claim him as your very own. Honor him as the Lord and Master of your life. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Declare to the world with an open and public affirmation of your faith that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Do not wait until that hour when Paul says all heaven and earth shall bow before him, and every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Come today in the warmth of his invitation, in the tenderness of his eyes that look at you, and claim him as your very own. The difference in Judas Iscariot and you is how you respond to the look that Jesus gives you today. Some of the most meaningful messages that have ever been delivered have been wordless messages. And this is one of them. I call it a message without words. And what a message it is. First, it is a message of repentance. It is a message of remembrance. It is a message of rededication. It is a message like Jesus never preached before nor after that glad moment. When he turned and looked at Peter, he preached a message without saying a word. A message of remembrance. The first thing that Peter remembered was the day he met Jesus Christ for the first time. We sing it often, O happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my God, Savior and my God. Well might this glowing heart rejoice to tell its raptures all abroad. Happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray. He taught me how to live rejoicing every day. Happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. Peter remembered that glorious hour when his brother Andrew brought him to Jesus and said, Simon, come, for we have found the Messiah. I bid you come this morning, for the Messiah has made his debut into earth society. The Messiah, the anointed of God, has come and in supreme sacrifice has offered himself upon Calvary's cross for you. He's here today. I bid you come to him. Yes, Peter remembered that Jesus said to him, "Thou art Simon, thou shalt be called Cephas," which being interpreted means a stone. In a flash of a moment, Peter remembered those words that Jesus said, "I see something in you, Peter, that is of great potential." But now, he has miserably failed, for he has denied and disappointed Christ. Say, do you remember the first time you felt his divine presence? It seemed like that the grass was just a little bit greener, and the stars were a little bit brighter in the heavens, and the rooster's crow was a little bit clearer for you. And life took on a different meaning, a glow, altogether different from anything that you'd ever experienced before. You remember that hour. And when Jesus turned and looked upon Peter, I believe that he must have remembered his first encounter with the Son of God. But what about this morning? Have you disappointed God? Are you denying the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh no, you would never do like Peter did. You would never openly disclaim your faith in the Son of God. You would never curse and swear that you did not know Him. But I wonder how many today, by careless, inconsistent living, are daily denying the one who purchased them with his own blood. I said a while ago that a lot of messages had been preached without a word being uttered. And you may never utter those words of disclaimer and those words of disgrace that would say to the world, "I do not know Jesus." But when you live before the world an inconsistent life, and when you fail to witness for Christ and honor Him by your testimony and by your life, you're as guilty as Peter was in denying your Savior. Yes, Peter remembered the tenderness of that first encounter with Jesus, and so do you. The second thing that Peter remembered was his promise of allegiance. The promise that he had just a little while ago made. Read it with me in Matthew chapter 26. "Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee." Now here's promise, here's Peter's promise of allegiance. "Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples." Yes, Peter made his promise of allegiance. But like many of us, Peter was always boiling hot or icy cold. Would to God we might find a happy balance somewhere and live on a plane of genuine dedication to Christ all the days of our lives. Incidentally, do you remember back there in your stronger moment, you made a promise similar to the promise that Peter made? For it seemed to you that nothing else in all the world mattered anymore. And you made the resolve in your own heart that you would go with Jesus all the way. You promised Christ that you would put Him first, and that nothing else would take the devotion and love and adoration that you would do Him. And you promised Him you'd go even to death. But where are you today? And how far have you gone? Some of you, shame on you. Some of you will not even go into the world with Jesus to minister in mercy to the needs of mankind, to say nothing of going with Him into prison or to death. Yes, Peter remembered his promise of allegiance, and so do you. How could you forget it? The third thing that Peter remembered were the words of Jesus. Those stinging, scorching, searching words. Peter, listen to me, Peter. With all of your bragging, with all of your boasting, before the cock crows tonight, you'll deny me three times. Small wonder that Peter came to that place of open denial. For my text says, he followed afar off. Some of you may be following afar off this morning. It may be that you have grown a bit cold and you've left the fires of your first love, and you're warming like Peter was at the fire in the camp of the enemy. I don't really believe, nor can you believe, that Peter intended to swear and curse that he never knew Jesus. The man who had just said, Lord, I will go with you even into prison and to death. I cannot believe that Peter ever really intended to openly deny his knowledge of Christ. For you see, Peter did not lose his courage in a blowout. He lost it in a slow leak. He followed afar off. And then he got up enough courage to sit down by the fire with the enemy. And before the night ended, he's cursing and swearing that he never knew Jesus. And while he yet spake, the cock crew. Yes, Peter remembered the words of Jesus, and so do you. The look that Jesus gave Peter that day preached to him a message of remembrance. Secondly, that look preached a message of repentance. Verse 62 says, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. Now when Jesus turned and looked at Peter, he could have reprimanded him, for he deserved it. There would have been no injustice done if the Lord Jesus had said to Peter, remember Peter, you said that you would watch, but you fell asleep. Remember, Peter, you promised that you would stay, but you ran away. Remember, Peter, you said that you would go with me to prison and to death, but you deserted me. When I faced the clutches of the grim enemy, you sat in the shadows and openly denied me. But that's not like Jesus, is it? It's not like the Son of God to scorn and scold. He didn't even rebuke Peter. In fact, he never said a word. He just looked at Peter. And with that look, he preached a soul-searching sermon. A message that changed Peter's life and ultimately helped to change the world and guide the destiny of all mankind. That tender look of compassion caused Peter to repent. And I believe that Peter must have traced his steps back to the Garden of Gethsemane. And there Peter shed tears of godly sorrow. And there Peter prayed a genuine prayer of confession. And there Peter repented of all his cowardice and cursing and compromise. His repentance led him to something else. It led him to total commitment. And that brings me to my third and final point. It was not only a message of remembrance and a message of repentance. It was a message of rededication. After this tragic scene that so vividly portrays the weakness of the strong man, we never see Peter in the role of a coward. We never hear him cursing or swearing, for never but never does he again deny his Lord. From this moment on, we have no reason to doubt his love and loyalty. That night might have been the big fisherman's worst hour, but put it down. That night became the night of his biggest catch. For Peter, before the night ended, paid the price of absolute surrender. Peter met the condition of total commitment of his life to Jesus Christ. Peter is no longer known as Simon. He is now known as Cephas, a stone. Hard, firm, durable, strong is Peter after this night. For he rededicated himself to Christ and to his cause. And later, Peter preached the great sermon on Pentecost, and 3,000 souls were saved. Later, he wrote two epistles that bear his name without even a suggestion of denial or weakness. Later, he became the great apostle to the Jews. All of this because Jesus Christ preached a message without words. A message that said in one glance, Peter, I care. An ex-convict walked up to a total stranger one day and said, would you mind thinking about me for a while? For if I only knew that someone somewhere was caring about me, it would mean more than $1 million to me. I must remind you that caring for others is what life is all about. It's not how many committees you've served on, or how many services you've attended, or how many titles you bear. It's your caring for people in the daily routine of their lives. Jesus cared for Peter in the moment of his weakness. And I hasten to remind you that he cares for you this morning. With the same loving look of forgiveness, Jesus looks at you and preaches a message without words, regardless of your denunciation, regardless of your denial. Jesus Christ cares this morning. He cares enough to die on Calvary's cross. He cares enough to forgive you of all your sins. He cares enough to restore you to the right relationship with God. Jesus Christ really cares. A few years ago, it was my privilege to hear the testimony of the great Charles Weigel. And he gave the story of his life, how that when he was a young man, he fell in love with Jesus Christ. And when he made his open declaration of faith in the Son of God, his wife and family all deserted him. And Charles Weigel said, often I would go into seclusion. And for long periods at a time, I would not come out to see anyone. What with all of my family gone and my human and earthly happiness vanishing away, I could not face the world. But one day, Charles Weigel sat down and wrote this song. I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus. Since I found in him a friend so strong and true, I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. All my life was wrecked by sin and misery when he found me. All my heart was full of selfishness and woe. But he threw his strong and loving arms about me, and he led me in the way I ought to go. Day by day he comes to me with new assurance. Day by day I hear his voice of cheer. But I shall never know just why he came to save me, till someday I see his blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so strong as he. No one else could change my life. No one else cared for me. Oh, my friend, this morning, the same Jesus that cared for Peter and the same Jesus that cared for Charles Weigel, who just died a few months ago, past 90 years of age, cares for you. And may I remind you this morning that regardless of the message that Jesus preached that day when he looked at Peter, it would have meant nothing if Peter had been looking the other way. Which way are you looking? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full into his face. And the things of the world will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. If you by faith this morning will look to him, he'll preach the same message to you. A message of remembrance. A message of repentance. A message of rededication. A message without words. Let us stand for our prayer. Heavenly Father, as we bow before thee this morning, we thank thee that Jesus Christ looks at us today as unworthy and undeserving as we are. We thank thee that he has never taken his eyes off us, but he looks with the same love and same compassion and same tenderness and preaches to us the same message that he preached to Peter in the long ago. May we by faith look at him this morning. For those who are without him, may they come today and look full into his face and trust him as their own personal Savior. For those who need to come and openly, publicly declare their faith by baptism, by church membership, may they come this morning. For those who need to slip about an altar of prayer, even as Peter did, weeping bitterly, rededicating themselves to Christ, may they come this morning for that prayer, as we ask it all in Jesus' name and for his sake and with thanksgiving.